Ladies and gentlemen, sports fans alike, welcome to another edition of Bill Swirsky, Sports Talk Chicago, one of the couple, two, three best podcasts around. So sit back, grab yourself a cold one and a Pola sausage, park your keister in the French room, and listen to Bill Swirsky, Sports Talk Chicago.
In Chicago, you know that all sports rock. The Bears, Hawks, Bulls, Cubs, and Sox. Pick your favorite, you can choose, as long as the Packers lose. For everything you need to know, it's Bill Swirsky, Sports Talk Chicago. Bill Swirsky, Sports Talk Chicago.
Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of Bill Swirsky, Sports Talk Chicago. On this episode, we're going to be talking about the Cubs and the White Sox starting rotations for this truncated season. Little Blackhawks news and notes about what's coming up in their truncated season slash playoffs. Maybe throw a little NFL news in here or there. But first, I'd like to thank our sponsor, the Rockford IceHogs. If you're not familiar with the Rockford IceHogs, they're the AHL minor league affiliate of the Chicago Blackhawks. What does that mean for you? You get to see the stars of tomorrow today at family-friendly, affordable prices. Sure, the season is not going on right now, like everything else, but it is exciting, and you won't want to miss the action when they do return. So don't sleep. Head on over to icehogs.com. Get yourself a hat, shirt, jersey, sign up for season tickets, and more. Tell them Swirsky Sports sent you. Alex, we are getting ever so close, theoretically, to having sports.
Hopefully it can happen safely, and you know, I know it's a very uncertain, nervous time, but you know, the baseball season's gonna start in what, less than 2 weeks,
and Jonathan Toews doesn't even know how the disease is transmitted. So
me no know.
I don't know, it could be anything. Yeah, we're really close to baseball, theoretically. But I don't know. Honestly, the thing is, the other day you had a bunch of tier one Cubs players, as well as their manager, that were not allowed to participate because they didn't have their test results back. I mean, I don't know if this is just indicative because we're still early on, or if this is going to be a problem that plagues this shortened season.
Well, look, we've already seen a number of problems with the testing because we've seen teams not get their test results back and have to stop camp, period. You know, it sounds like they're improving on it, but it's not completely where it should be. So, you know what? I think that there's still a ways to go before it's as reliable as we want it to be, and it should be. But there's still clearly some kinks that need to be ironed out here. I know it's easier said than done, but just for the safety of the players, it needs to be better. And we've heard from several Cubs players, including Chris Bryant, including Yu Darvish, including Anthony Rizzo, including John Lester, that there is growing concerns about being there. They're there for now, but you know, it took some time to evaluate the situation because of how serious it is. So you just got to hope that it continues to improve and cases continue to be negative. I mean, not all teams have all negative cases. We've seen a number of players opt out, and I support their decision 100%. And we've seen a number of players express, you know, kind of being on the fence about it. So, you know, even if you're in camp right now playing, I'm sure it's still constantly on your mind, no matter what team you play for.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Yu Darvish was quoted as saying that he was close to not playing this season. And it was,
yeah,
it took his teammates taking this seriously for him to be willing to do it. And he said, you know, if they weren't taking this seriously, I would not have played. And I wouldn't have blamed him. You know, you're right.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, sure, these guys are young and in good health, but I mean, I just read the other day about a 41-year-old guy with no health conditions that got it and then ended up getting a blood clot, had to have his leg amputated, and then died. 41, you know? And so it's like, am I willing? I mean, you know, if they're not taking it seriously, would I have risked everything? I don't know. You know, it's a tough balancing act, because as players, you want to go out there and play. But as a human being, you know, with a family and loved ones that you probably don't want to put at risk, it's got to be a scary proposition there. And, you know, they're not playing with the masks. The testing has been spotty at best. You know, it's tough.
It is tough. And I would not be surprised if we saw more players continue to opt out even in the opening weeks of the season, because let's say the season starts and there's an outbreak of some cases on a team and they're still trying to play. I would not be surprised to see some guys just say, you know what? I don't feel safe doing this. I don't want to get my family sick. I don't want to get sick, so I don't want to do this. And again, I would support those decisions completely.
And I mean, and you look at it is, so they got to take off at least 2 weeks if they test positive, right?
Right.
How many games is this going to be?
60.
All right. So you figure they're playing pretty much every day. You take 2 weeks off. It's like a quarter of the season.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you test positive, I mean, you know, is it worth coming? I mean, there's going to be people that are evaluate themselves and be like, listen, I'm out 2 weeks. Maybe I just don't come back.
Right. Yeah, that too. And you know what? It also depends on how it affects you too. I mean, if you're sick, you might be sicker longer than 2 weeks.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, if you get hospitalized, you know, Tommy Hottovy had tested positive and he's still talking about the lingering effects that he has. And he's out of the woods as far as the risk of his life, but he still has lingering effects. You know, difficulty breathing and other things, you know, and he's a young guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And think about it. If it affects a young guy like him like that, imagine trying to be an athlete. And if you're sick and it's pretty bad and you're suffering from the effects of it and you're trying to play a game, you know, athletic, physical activity, you know, that's going to be really hard.
Absolutely. You saw Michael Kopech opt out.
Yeah, that was the first big opt out of any Chicago baseball team. And, you know, I know fans, especially Sox fans, were excited to watch him pitch. You know, he hadn't pitched since 2018 with the Tommy John surgery, but, you know, I support his decision completely. I think he is doing what he feels is right. And when there's an infectious disease spreading, I think not being exposed to it is the right thing if that's how he feels.
And you know, right now, you know, into camp, you have both sides of town have, you know, get thrown a curveball by somebody they were projecting in their starting rotation. So the Kopech opts out and Quintana has the surgery for the cut on his finger, and you know, he's very unlikely to be back by the start of the season.
And who knows what's going to happen with that, because it could be a few weeks, it could be a month. I mean, you know, when ligaments are cut and you're trying to heal, you know, you got to grip the baseball, you got to throw, and I don't know how that's going to heal. You know, I'm no medical expert, but I just feel like it's going to be really tough for him to come back even before midseason. Again, I'm not a doctor. I don't know, but yeah, I mean, I think the Cubs are preparing for that.
Yeah, even if you are a doctor, I mean, unless you're actually looking at that, you have no idea what the recovery is going to be like, because there's guys that get a blister, and if that blister just returns, you know, you don't grip the baseball right, you get the burning sensation in the hand, you know, you can't throw properly. You know, this could be something that heals fairly quickly, and he's feeling good about throwing the ball, holding it well. It's coming out of his hand okay. I mean, if he's back in 3 weeks, I wouldn't be shocked. But if he misses a big chunk of the season, I wouldn't be shocked.
Exactly.
I am honestly like a blank slate. I'm prepared for anything as far as Quintana goes.
Yeah, and you know what? I think this is the time, perfect opportunity for a guy like Alec Mills to show what he has. You could give Edward Alzolay a chance. He's supposed to be your next upcoming starting pitcher. Because look, the fact of the matter is, no matter what happens this year, next year, your rotation is going to look very different. John Lester is likely going to be gone because his guaranteed years are up. And I know it's a vesting option. But, you know, with his age, where he's going right now, I think most likely he's going to be gone. So, you know, count that as probably gone. Chatwood's contract is up. Quintana's contract is up. Really, all you're going to have left guaranteed is going to be Hendricks and Darvish. So now's the perfect time, I think, to see what you have for the future within your team. You know, maybe Alec Mills is part of the future. Maybe not. Maybe this is a good time for Edward Alzolay to show what he has, or at least, you know, pitch a little bit more. But, you know, it's going to take some adjusting right now. And, you know, the Cubs are going to have to be prepared for big changes in the rotation regardless of this year. Alec Mills is time to shine, man. I like him a lot. We've seen his spot starts. They've looked very good. I don't think he'll be anything more than like a four. But if you can find a valuable bottom of the rotation arm in this guy, then you will gladly take that. You need the pitching depth.
Oh, you're absolutely spot on here. Is, you know, I think this shortened season might be a blessing in disguise for the Cubs. You know, you can shore up a lot of things in a shortened season that you can't in a 162 game season. And you also have the opportunity to show what some of these guys can do and what they're going to look like next year, because you really hope that next year you can compete. You might have some more financial flexibility next year. You know, remains to be seen, but you're right. Darvish, Hendricks this year, and they're the only ones guaranteed for next year. But Darvish and Hendricks are going to be your one and two in some order. Lester, three. And it's looking right now that the first opportunities for four and five are Tyler Chatwood and Alec Mills. And the next group are Colin Ray, Jarrell Cotton, and Edward Alzolay.
Yeah, Colin Ray is a guy that a lot of people have been talking about. I think he was pitcher of the year last year in the Pacific Coast League. So can that translate to the majors? I guess now would be the time to see. I don't think he's a long-term solution, but if you have him now, you might as well see. Because, you know, I think Chatwood is pretty much a lock for the rotation to start. But if things kind of go south for him and they move him back in the bullpen, then you're going to need another arm to replace that if that's the case. I mean, let's say Alec Mills is pitching well, Tyler Chatwood is not. Then you probably turn to a guy like Alzolay or Colin Ray.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, you've got guys that they're stretching out. You know, I read that they're going to want all those guys stretched out to at least five innings by the time the season starts.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, just throwing this out there as well is when Darvish comes back, I mean, Quintana comes back, is he hasn't pitched in how long? It's going to take him a while to come back and get stretched.
I mean, he hasn't pitched since the first spring training back in March because he got hurt right before camp even started.
Yeah, so, I mean, really pitched, probably it's been September.
Yeah, in an actual game, yeah. In a regulation game, yeah. And right now you're seeing all the other pitchers obviously getting their time. Yu Darvish has gotten plenty of time. Kyle Hendricks has. We saw John Lester throwing a simulated game. It was either yesterday or the day before. And then you're going to see, you've seen some Tyler Chatwood. You're going to see more Mills. You're seeing more of those guys. While Quintana just has to get healthy first before we could even throw off a mound or even throw, period.
And, you know, Lester's a guy that I'm worried about. Is last year we saw his fastball took a big dip. I think it was the lowest the lowest velocity that he's ever had in his major league career in his fastball. We saw the transition to a lot more of the cutter. And, you know, honestly, he's been borderline junk pitcher.
Yeah, he's been kind of the guy where you just look to grind away. You don't look at him to dominate like he did for so many years. You know, we saw that start to kind of turn after they won the World Series. Because his first 2 years here, he pretty much came as advertised. I mean, 2016, he was absolutely dominant. In 2015, he was pretty good too. In 2017, you saw some of the inconsistencies. 2018, you saw him grind effectively, but you definitely knew that he was pitching to contact more. And then last year, you saw kind of that more of that contact that he got the year before fall in for hits. So, you know, last year, the one thing I will point to last year was he did have some nice stretches still. But, again, the stuff was not the same. So I think, is it fair to say he can still be effective? Yes. Should we count on him for being the ace he once was? No. I mean, he's in his late 30s. He's got a million miles on his arm. He's just past that point. And that's why he's not going to be the opening day starter. It's probably still going to be between Darvish and Hendricks. So, you know, it's what happens. Father Time always wins.
Every time. Still undefeated and after all these years.
Yep. Like the Harlem Globetrotters against the Generals.
So it's, you know, I'm a little nervous. I mean, you know, if he could get through this year with an improved defense behind him, he can generate soft contact, you know, bite at the, if his location is good, and he can get to soft contact with a much improved defense, you know, we might see an improvement from last year. I mean, it won't be a legit like bounce back, but you know, if we can get some sort of temporary relief from last year, I think that bodes well for the Cubs. And the real concerning thing is Craig Kimbrel, man.
Yeah, I try not to overreact to scrimmage home runs, but look at spring training and look at last year. He got hit hard.
That guy is throwing batting practice at the home run derby.
And, you know, did you hear about the whole changeup he's trying to develop?
No.
Well, he's trying to develop a changeup, and that right there tells you he's adjusting his game because his old game that worked phenomenally for so long, it's kind of a thing of the past.
Oof. I'm nervous about this season. You know, I know it's a short season. Anything can happen. You know, it's going to be, if you can jump out early, you know, I think it's tough for a team to come back from an early deficit in the standings. But
it is, yes.
But man, the Cubs need to come out early, and you know they're gonna have to see if the Cubs are gonna make noise. They're gonna need Anthony Rizzo to look like Anthony Rizzo. That back's got to be healed up. You're gonna need to see a Javi Baez great year. You're going to need to see Chris Bryant great year. You're going to have to see Schwarber have a great year. You're going to have to see those guys just pick this team up and carry it.
Yeah, you're going to have a lot of competition around you. The Reds look revitalized. They still have to prove it. I'm not declaring them winners like some people are, but you know, I think they're going to try to compete really hard this year with the moves they've made and the core they already have. The Brewers are going to be there. The Cardinals are obviously still your biggest threat, most likely. And, you know, it's not going to be the easiest division to play in. I think it's fair to say that they have a more favorable schedule to start the season. So they got to take care of that. They got to take advantage of that.
I've seen a couple of outlets say that, you know, we're going to have, there's actually going to be a trade deadline this year. It's August 31st.
Midway, yeah.
Saying that they look at the Cubs as potential buyers. In what scenario do you legitimately see the Cubs as being buyers? And I mean by like buyer, not like, oh, you know, let's pick up, you know, a middle of the bullpen guy, a middle innings guy.
Yeah, let's get Melky Cabrera for like a player to be named later.
Yeah. Like, is there any scenario that you see the Cubs be legitimate deadline buyers?
The only thing I could see is if they traded pieces off their current roster for slight improvements. Like if you packaged like an Ian Happ and Albert Almora somehow to get something in return. But I don't see them at all trading any sort of valuable prospects, because right now they're trying to rebuild their farm. They're trying to develop more from within. So I don't see any blockbusters happening in a season like this, especially a season where, you know, you could be playing August 31st and then a few weeks into September, there's a huge outbreak of the virus and they have to stop. And then you just traded away some valuable assets you already had.
Yeah, I don't think it's worth it. I don't see a scenario, even if they're fighting and clawing and they could win the division, I just don't think it's worth it. Is you need all of the assets that you have. You just need them. Unless the only situation I could see them being buyers is if they can get somebody at a reasonable cost that could be there for multiple seasons. And I don't know who is worthy of being there for multiple seasons that you're going to get at a reasonable offer at the trade deadline.
Right. And you also have to ask this question. What's the value? What's the value going to be like? Because are other teams going to be shopping valuable assets? Are other teams going to be willing to part with young assets? I don't know. In this shortened season, you'd either be selling short or trying to buy too high for what the season is.
Yeah, and I just, you know, I look at the season as you play the cards you're dealt, and that's it. I honestly, this is a weird season, and if you get that trophy, you hoist it up, and you hoist it up with pride. I mean, I will be, you know, purchasing my Cubs World Series hat if they win it, but I would not be going all in like this was a regular season, because you're right, there's too many question marks, and you are at a crossroads of this organization of where you're going to be heading. It's you're either going to be selling things off to do a rebuild, or you make smart moves and you know, you build from that farm system that's not ranked very high.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be weird. It's going to be very weird. And that's just kind of how I look at it and accept it. I know this is going to be an unusual season. I know that this is going to be a season where a lot of weird stuff can happen. There's room for great things. There's room for terrible things. I don't even know if this season's going to finish. I mean, I still have my doubts we're going to get all the way through this thing. So that's kind of the one thing I look at and say, you know, whatever happens, happens, I guess.
Now, on the other side of town, I think they're poised to be much better off. You know, you've got a lot of young hitters that look like they're going to be great. You have, you know, Luis Robert, who I've seen compared to Bobby Bonds and Andre Dawson, which are just, those are amazing comparisons.
Yeah, I think Luis Robert might be the next superstar of the league. You watch that guy hit. He fell down the other day. He swung, he fell down, and still went out of the park. Like, that's pretty amazing.
It's ridiculous. But, you know, so you've got a lot of great young hitters. Your bullpen looks pretty solid. It's how that starting rotation is going to be. And, you know, is Giolito going to be the guy from last year? You know, we'll see. I don't think he's going to fall on his face. I just, that first half of the season, he was just absolutely, you know, lights out. I think he'll take a step back from that, but I think you're still going to get a good season out of Giolito. You've got Gio Gonzalez, Dallas Keuchel, so you got some veterans there. And then to fill out the rest of your rotation, you're looking at Carlos Rodon, who supposedly is healthy, Reynaldo Lopez, and Dylan Cease. So you got some question marks at the end of that rotation, but if you can come, if you can put some runs on the board and you can go into, you know, the seventh inning with a lead, the White Sox are going to be tough to beat.
I think they can win their division.
I think so too.
I'd pick them to win the division, actually. I just don't think there's, I think the sky's the limit for them, and I don't see a lot of really great competition around them. Obviously, having to play the NL Central is going to be tough, you know, having to play the Cardinals as well, and including that Field of Dreams game, playing the Reds, playing the Brewers, you know, it's, but, you know, overall, like, take advantage of this. And the nice thing about the White Sox is for them going into the season, there's absolutely no pressure. There's no pressure. So figure out who you are right now when there's no pressure. Just play and see what you got. And I don't see them shopping or buying anything. This is pretty much the core that they have. Just let them play and do their thing.
Yeah, I saw one site. I can't remember who it was. Maybe it was fan-sided, but they were talking about being buyers at the deadline and that, you know, there could be some legit third baseman available at the trade deadline, like Nolan Arenado. And, you know, if you could add a guy like him, move Yoan Moncada to second base, Arenado at third. I know you got a second baseman in the waiting in the minors, but man, having Moncada and Arenado being your second and third baseman, that could be really sick.
Well, if that happens, I think the Sox are going to win a couple of titles. I mean,
yeah. So, you know, the future is very bright for this team. It's just, it's going to be fun watching them in this weird season. But they're a team that had two unnamed, I don't know if they've named the players. I've not seen it, but they had two players test positive for COVID-19.
Yeah.
So, you know, can they get through this year?
Well, hopefully they can. Hopefully nobody else gets sick, and hopefully you could see some of their guys continue to grow. I mean, you look at that lineup and you say, you look at the potential and you look at the veteran presence that's on there, like Abreu and Encarnacion, that might be one of the best lineups in baseball, at least in terms of power and production.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what they can do. I'm honestly excited. It's going to be fun. You know, the Cubs I think are going to be pretty good, but they're going to be nerve-wracking good. The White Sox, I don't think there's a lot of expectations. They, you know, they can go out there and sure, they want to win, but there's the pressure to win isn't there.
No.
They're like that dark horse, you know, pick to win the division for a lot of national folks, but I think they're going to be good, man.
To me, I think it'd be disappointing if they didn't make the playoffs, if the season goes all the way through. I mean, I know there shouldn't be the pressure of that. I know that. I just feel like the stars are aligned for them to really make a push.
I would agree. I would be disappointed for them if they don't make the playoffs. You know, I think they've got the talent. It's just guys putting it together. You know, Luis Robert, I think you're going to see some ups and downs. The guy has so much talent, but think about it is when the season started last year, what wasn't he in single A?
I don't remember. I thought it was double A.
I don't know. He has moved up so quickly. I thought he started in single A and then quickly moved to double A. I'd have to look, but he is skyrocketed through the minor league system. So, and then don't forget you have Vaughn that was your high pick not too long ago. That's waiting in the wings. So you've got a, Nick Madrigal. You've got guys that are just waiting in the wings that
they have a stupid amount of talent. I mean, a lot of talent.
Yeah, it's going to be fun watching them this season.
Frankly, it makes me kind of jealous almost of what they have as a Cub fan. Like, I got to give them a lot of credit. They've really rebuilt that system great. And I mean, you got a lot of boppers on that team. It's going to be a lot of fun for them. And, you know, this is the perfect time for them to kind of give a taste of who they are. And, you know, even if they just miss the playoffs this year, but like they show the promise, you could still build off that. Like I said, the pressure is not there and they seem very loose and confident, which is the right attitude to have. So, yeah, again, sky's the limit for them. That's an exciting group.
And, you know, honestly, is Cubs fans out there, is if the White Sox do really good, congratulate those White Sox fans. We all know another fan of the other team in this city. But to be honest with you, we're all Chicagoans. Is sure, your team, if they don't win, the other team wins, you're going to be a little bummed just because you wanted your team to win. But you know what? Our city wins. High five them. You don't have to switch allegiance. You don't have to buy a new hat. Just high five them. Be like, you know what? Your team did awesome. High five. It's not that hard.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, man.
I spent too many years being angry about White Sox fans. And it's I'm in my 40s. I'm just like, this is stupid. Why? I'm excited. You know, sure, if you ask me who I would rather win, of course I'd say the Cubs. It's my team. But I'm not going to root for the White Sox to lose. I want them to win too. You know, it'd be great if we could see a crosstown, you know, World Series in this shortened year. It'd be kind of like the passing of the torch.
I don't know if I want to see a crosstown World Series, to be honest with you.
Well, we know what city's winning.
True, but, you know, we've already seen too much crazy. You know what? The way this year is going, it would be fitting. It really would be fitting to see a Cubs-White Sox World Series and people just at each other's throats.
But, all right, so let's move on to hockey. Is we're getting close to the start of this new fashioned Stanley Cup playoffs where the Blackhawks somehow magically are in it.
Magic.
And Corey Crawford was deemed unfit to play.
Yeah. I mean, easy to speculate what it is, but when you don't have information, you can't make any.
Your two speculations are concussions, but he hasn't done anything to get a concussion, or the Blackhawks just don't want him to play because he's their best chance of winning this, and if they miss the playoffs, they've got a real good shot at getting the number one pick.
Well, the other idea, okay, well, that's not what I was thinking. Well, I mean, he couldn't have slipped at any concerts. We know that.
That's true.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like Crawford playing is like their glimmer of hope of actually making a run.
He's the only Corey Crawford finding the magic is the only shot that the Blackhawks have of winning this series.
Yeah. It is. And I know Duncan Keith has gone through spiritual stuff and he looks better than ever. But yeah, you're going to need Corey because your other options at goaltender, you know, Malcolm Subban in the NHL hasn't looked spectacular and doesn't have that much playing time. I remember watching him on the Chicago Wolves when they were with Vegas. And, you know, in the AHL, I remember him doing pretty well, but you know, in the NHL, there's not a lot of experience there. And then you have Colin Delia, who, you know, a few years ago, maybe I thought was going to be something, but we still kind of yet to see that. And then a few other guys I don't really know. So
Kevin Lankinen.
Oh, he's going to be the next Corey Crawford.
Those are your three guys. And two of them are going to be on your roster. against Edmonton. Is it who they're playing?
Edmonton, yeah.
Yeah. I forgot for a second. So Edmonton, who are going to just put pucks on net. And these are the pairings that we saw during the practice, the last practice. Keith and Bockwist, Dahan and Murphy, Mata and Cuckoo, and then Seabrook.
Yeah, how's that going to work?
Seabrook, so you have Seabrook coming back from three surgeries that I didn't think he would ever come back from. You have Dahan coming back from a shoulder surgery.
And I like Dahan. I mean, I think Dahan is a positive add, but yeah, he hasn't played in a while.
Seabrook is honestly a guy that I thought we'd be able to do a long-term IR and get some salary cap relief. And this is looking like, nope, not happening. And then they're talking about how the NHL has decided that as part of their financial relief, they're not going to let teams amnesty anybody. And so, boop, there goes that idea. It's like, you know how awesome it would have been if the Blackhawks could have amnestied Seabrook?
Yeah, I think there was a lot of speculation that that was going to happen, but it looks like he's going to try to make it work. And look, I'll give Seabrook credit for trying to make it work. I just don't know how it's going to go.
Do you give him credit? Do you?
Yeah.
If he knew what was best for this team, he'd be like, yeah, this hip is so bad, I'm going to hang him up. That would be what was best for this team.
You know what? Maybe he's going to try something new. He's just going to lie in the goal crease and be like double goalie. Maybe what he could do is he could slip through whoever's playing goalies like jersey so they could be like a two-headed monster.
Like in Step Brothers when they go for the job interview. He's just behind him and he pops out the other side.
Exactly.
You saying Pan or Pam? Is it two M's, right? So yeah. we have Seabrook and we have no Crawford. There's no bueno.
Yeah, I'm looking again at Malcolm Subban. He's only played 66 games in the NHL and a 279 save, 899 percentage. I mean, I've seen worse, but that's, I don't think with a bad defense against a high scoring team like the Oilers, that's going to go so well.
And then here's the lines that in the last practice we saw, DeBrinket, Taves and Saad on the first line. Nylander, Strome, and Kane, second line. Kubalik, Doc, and Kajula on the third line. Carpenter, Kampf, and Highmore in the fourth line.
So pretty much what we've seen before.
Yeah, nothing too surprising there. I think the Blackhawks are going to be able to score on Edmonton. It's just I think it's going to be a high scoring affair. And the Blackhawks are not going to be on the good end of that high scoring affair.
Well, you know, I say is let's say they do get Crawford back and he does play. You say to yourself, you know what? You may give up 45 shots, but if he could stand on his head and you get a nice bounce here or there, then you can pull out some wins. But if they don't, I mean, you know, if your goalie tandem is Subban and Colandelia, you don't feel as good. If it's Crawford and Subban, you're feeling a lot better. You know, it would have been nice if they still had Leonard, but we didn't anticipate this. So, you know, that's not an option. But, yeah, I feel like Crawford really is, like, their biggest hope. And I know that some of those guys are coming back in great shape, but I guess the other point of hope is, you know, it's going to be weird for both teams. You know, what if the Oilers just choke? Yeah, I'm trying to be optimistic here.
Honestly, I'm just excited to see some hockey. Have the Blackhawks go out there. I have no illusions that they're going to win. And here's the thing. They're in the playoffs, and then when they get bounced, they have a really good shot of getting that number one overall pick. And the best part about that, I mean, besides getting an absolute stud player, is watching every Red Wings fan cry and scream, "Rigged, rigged, rigged."
They're going to be crying that, and you're just going to get in a big pot of meatball sauce and just covering yourself with it and laughing.
I'm just going to have this giant ladle and just ladling myself with meatball sauce. I'm going to develop a fake Italian accent.
And then you're going to get
this is a spicy meatball sauce.
And you're going to take out a pitcher and start making Kool-Aid with your wooden spoon. Clink, clink, clink.
You will see me. I will be the biggest meatball, but I will do so with a tuxedo and like a part in my hair and a monocle in. So I'm a sophisticated meatball.
Oh, that's the best kind.
I do declare we have the number one pick. Meatball sauce. Meatball sauce.
That's the best. The classy meatball is the best meatball.
Of course. My meatball will also have a monocle as well.
Oh, very nice.
And then when they make the correct pick with the number one pick, I will be so astonished that my monocle will drop. I simply must stop being so astonished.
But I cannot help myself.
Bulls? I mean, they haven't fired Boylan yet? It's coming.
I'm not trying to get nervous. I'm not trying to get nervous. I am not trying to get nervous. I am not trying to get nervous.
Big Dave insists it's coming. The van is still coming. Every day that passes, I'm a little more nervous, but Boylan is still there.
Because did you hear that whole rumor about, oh, they don't want to pay two coaches? Well, first of all, wouldn't they technically be paying three? Because aren't they still paying Fred Hoiberg?
I think they are. Just pay him. Pay him to go away. Pay him to go away. Stupid Boylan. Bad coach.
Who are the Bulls? They have all the money in the world.
That team is so profitable. Just pay the guy.
Here's your check. The memo says go away! Exclamation point.
It says GTFO.
I can't sit here and think that Arturas Karnisovas, a smart, respected, very, very respected basketball executive who would sit down and listen to the players and would want to change the culture, keep that around. There's no way, right?
They're going to write him that check, and it's going to have this really, really fine print in the memo. And Boylan's going to look at it. I can't read this. And he pulls out a magnifying glass, and he's looking at it. And as he's looking real hard, you're going to see AK just rear back and boot him so hard with the big Simpsons Australia boot and launch him out of the United Center. And then there will be much rejoicing.
Rejoice!
So, NFL, there's really not much going on. You know,
they say the Bills fan is still puking on himself.
He is, but you know, we're gonna have a name change in Washington.
Washington.
Washington. Like Mike Ditka says it. Washington.
North Washington.
So they are no longer going to be the Redskins. About time. But they're going to maintain the same color scheme, and they said that Chico Rivera and Snyder are going to be working on their new names. So expect something super awesome.
What would you name the team?
Honestly, I don't know. I mean, you know, I saw somebody post they should be the Red Hawks. So it's got like the same cadence. But I don't know.
I like the Red Tails. Like, people made the Red Tails with like an airplane logo. I think that'd be kind of cool.
That would be cool. I'd be into that.
I know it's not an NFL name. It's more of like a minor league hockey name, but I still like that.
I do not like, I've seen the Generals. That's terrible.
There's already a Generals and they lose every game.
Yes.
Maybe that is a fitting name for them then.
Yeah, I've seen the name of the Foreskins.
Yeah, that joke was old years ago.
Yeah, that was a terrible joke. Not good. I saw that there were, I don't remember what the names were, but I saw that there were Vegas odds. You can bet on what the names will be, or the name will be.
I saw that. People are so desperate to make a sports bet. That's where we're at. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, it'll be nice to see the change, you know. But it begs the point is, you know, when is Cleveland? I mean, Cleveland's probably next on the list, right?
Yeah, I mean, they've already announced that they're reevaluating their name, and they should go back to the Cleveland Spiders. That was one of their names before.
Spiders. So I mean, I'm imagining on the hit list goes Redskins definitely one, Indians two. Because it was bad enough, but then the Chief Wahoo logo was just over the top.
Yeah,
I think that really doomed it. Braves probably next.
Braves. What I see happening is no more Tomahawk Chop. I mean, I think that's probably going to end faster than their name gets changed, I think.
And then I think, I mean, real low on the totem is the Golden State Warriors. I think they're low, but in that realistic but low realistic, then you got the Chiefs and the Blackhawks.
See, I think if the Blackhawks ever like made a change, it would just be a logo change to like a hawk, like a black hawk.
Probably. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, the Chiefs, I think the Chiefs is kind of a terrible name, but like they at least have like an arrowhead on their logo, so it's not like a person, it's a arrow.
Right.
It's an arrowhead. Right. But, you know, I think the Redskins staying the Redskins for as long as they did was like the buffer for everybody else, cuz well, I mean, obviously, if the Redskins aren't changing their name, I'm not even going to think about it.
I'm surprised that name lasted so long. I
was looking at like this list of the most offensive names, and there was a Chicago high school called the Chinks.
There was?
Yes, and they called their arena the Chink Rink.
Ew.
Yeah.
Where exactly was it?
It was said Pekin High. I screen captured it because I sent it to a friend and I was like, I could see the Redskins totally, you know, one-upping it.
Yeah, right.
The Pekin High Chinks. And there's a news. So this is not Chicago. It's Pekin, Illinois. Pekin. And there's
like pecan, like the nut?
No, Pekin.
Oh, P-E-K-I. Okay.
And right. They had a newspaper, the Pekin Daily Times, and there's a big headline in the sports section. Chinks number one. Pekin roars its praise for mighty chinks.
Oh.
Celebrate forever is mood of Pekin today. I can't. The article is too pixelated to see the date on there, but it's a basketball team of all white players, so that probably gives you a hint.
Yeah.
So apparently they did change their name at some point.
Where the heck is Pekin, Illinois? I'm looking at a map now. I've never heard of it. Let's see.
Yeah, people always like, do you know where this is in Illinois? And I was like, if it's not in Cook County, I probably don't.
Well, yeah, like anything outside DuPage or Cook, I'm like, where the fuck is that? Oh, it's right below Peoria.
Yeah, okay.
It's like so right, it's like, below Peoria.
Yeah, so it is Peoria. That is not my wheelhouse of Illinois. That is outside of my range. Like, you know, if you get past Joliet, I'm done tapping.
Yeah, I mean, outside the Chicagoland area, like, the places of Illinois I know are Rockford, Champaign, Springfield, East St. Louis, and Carbondale. That's about it. Or, and like, Decatur and Kankakee. Because, you know, my brother went to U of I, so when we went down to Champaign, we'd go through Kankakee. You know, I went to Bears training camp a few times in Bourbonnais. You know, I've been to Springfield a number of times. I think I'd been through Decatur, but never actually stopped in Decatur. But, you know, my friend next year is getting married. I'm standing up in his wedding. And he's like, yeah, we're getting married in, what was it called? Not Edwardsville, but it's either Collinsville, I think it was. And I'm like, where the fuck is that? And then I saw, I'm like, oh, it's like East St. Louis.
Yeah, I mean, I know I've been to Bourbonnais, but I couldn't, like, that whole area between, like, Tinley Park and Bourbonnais is it might as well be Kentucky. I don't know it. I no idea. It's like, I know, like, I grew up in the southwest suburbs, so, like, I know Tinley Park a little bit. I know Orland Park. My dad lived in Joliet, Lockport area, so I know that. Bolingbrook, Naperville, I know that. St. Charles a little bit, and then you get up to like Schaumburg, I know that. The north, like Evanston area. But then outside of that, it starts getting real sketch. Like, I only know Northbrook because that's where my office is. Like, I wouldn't have known Northbrook before I started working out there. Like Elgin, it's a little out of my wheelhouse. Dundee, Barrington, like, whew. Like I legitimately, once you cross like into Lake County, I start pulling out a map. I'm like, I'm not sure where I am.
Like, sending out smoke signals.
I'm like, did they still speak? Does this still speak Merkin here?
Well, you know, since I'm a little further west in Elmhurst, I mean, you know, my area is like Lombard, Wheaton, Cale Stream, Elk Grove, Schaumburg, Oak Brook, Downers Grove, Naperville, Bolingbrook. And then, you know, you go out to like Aurora, that's not as far. Recently, I was in a wedding at Batavia. You know, St. Charles, I'm fairly familiar with. I have some friends who are in Elgin, Hoffman Estates. I've been to Barrington a number of times. It's funny because I had some friends who played in a band, and they'd play at this bar up in Barrington. And it's kind of funny because in your mind, you think Barrington isn't that far. But when you actually look at a map where I live in Elmhurst, I'm kind of like, wow, that's kind of farther north than I picture it, you know?
Yeah. And it's funny because I'm like, oh, you know, Naperville, Aurora, I know that. And then I'm literally looking at a map and I'm like, Oswego? The hell is Oswego? It's literally like next door to Aurora. I'm like, I don't know that.
Oh yeah, I know Oswego, not well, but I know what that is.
Like Plainfield, I know Plainfield because they get tornadoes.
Yeah. Well, wasn't there a big one in like the late 80s down there?
I think they got it twice in like 10 years. They got wiped out twice.
Yeah. Well, you know, if for any Southsiders who are listening to this podcast, my mom grew up in the Oak Lawn area, and I don't know if you know the story of 1967.
The roller rink?
The tornado, yeah, in Oak Lawn.
Got the roller rink, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I grew up in that area, so like my mom and my uncles, like they had friends that died in that roller rink.
Really?
Yeah. My junior high, like we were like in the same like district area where I grew up, and we had a plaque in our gym like honoring the people that died in that roller rink.
Wow. It missed my mom's neighborhood by a few blocks, but our the family Orthodox church there took damage, And my aunt was a nurse at the hospital, and she spent like several straight days assisting the effort. My mom was about 8 years old when it happened, but she says she still remembers being down in that basement during the tornado. And I mean, I think it was like an EF4, EF5. It was a big tornado. It was very rare for that kind of tornado to touch down in Oak Lawn, but you know, it did. And you know, my family was very lucky that no one was hurt or killed in that. But, you know, unfortunately, there are people that were hit. Because that had to be before your time, right?
Oh, wait. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm that old. But it's I mean, the residual effect was we practiced those tornado drills like all the time. And I remember you'd have to like one of the schools I went to, the where we had to go for where my homeroom was we had to go into the men's bathroom and duck under the urinals.
Ew.
Like, really, man? Like, I will risk the tornado.
You'll take out an umbrella and be like Mary Poppins.
Oh, Mary Poppins or Princess Leia, whichever. I will risk it. So, I will risk it not to go under the urinal.
So I got to ask you, where exactly did you grow up?
Worth, the friendly village.
Worth.
So it is. So if you're looking at like Oak Lawn, next to Oak Lawn, like going west is Chicago Ridge.
Yeah.
And then, so it's like, and then.
I see it.
It's the next town, like southwest.
Yeah, right next to 294.
Yeah, so if you're on 294 and you see the water tower that says the Friendly Village, that's Worth.
Okay, because my mom grew up right off, I think it was 79th Street. I can't remember.
That would have been Burbank.
Maybe I'm remembering it wrong. It was somewhere in that area. Trying to think of what famous things are around there. Do you know Bogan High School?
I do.
Do you remember how
that's on 79th Street?
Yeah. So okay, that would have been where she
Okay, so that's like close to like Ford City Mall.
Yes,
Daly College.
Yes. Yes, Ford City Mall was a big place there, and
yeah, Ford City Mall. I haven't been there in forever. I almost forgot where that is. Man, whew, Ford City Mall. Forgot that existed. So that's like 79th and Pulaski-ish.
Yeah, and my grandfather owned a restaurant right on the corner of, was it 70? I think it was 79th. It's either 79th and Pulaski or 79th and Cicero. It was right on the corner, and owned a diner there in the 60s.
Hmm.
Yeah,
that's before my time.
Yeah, it was. That was a long time ago. You know, my mom was a kid. It was, you know, well before the 70s and the 80s, obviously. So yeah, it was. Yeah, it was 79th and Pulaski, right on one of the corners there. Right across from the high school, actually.
Oh, okay. There's a White Castle there now.
That was the forbidden place. Because that White Castle was still there across from my grandfather's diner. And he said, no family is going to go to that White Castle. It was
the White Castle.
And my mom loves White Castle, but it was the forbidden place because it was in direct competition with my grandfather's restaurant.
So my dad, before he passed, like my wife would be like, all right, for your birthday, I will make you whatever you want for dinner. He's just like, I remember he would think about it. He goes, White Castle.
Good man.
And then I think another time he's like, what do you want? She's like, can you pick something other than White Castle? And he goes, Hamburger Helper.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, simple tastes. But that man would light up. Like, his eyes would light up if you brought him White Castle. So, like, he'd be moody and angry and, like, wouldn't talk and like be mad about something and you just walk in with White Castle and suddenly the whole mood changed. And it was like, you know, chipper as can be because he loved White Castle that much. It was unreal. And then when, you know, the last 2 years of his life, he was living in a, we had to put him in a nursing home. And there was a White Castle a couple blocks away. And they would do like, I don't know, once a month they would do like, oh, you could pay some money and they would bring back food from whatever. And one night it was White Castle and he was just like a pig and shit. Yeah, it was like... Because everybody pitched in like $10 and they bought so many White Castle and a lot of the old people just, they ate like one or two and they were done. And my dad just like housing everybody else's leftover White Castles. And the next day he's like, Sean, I had White Castle for dinner. Oh my God, it was so good. Such a White Castle. I had so many of them. I must have had 20.
That's living the life right there, man.
He talked like he had just seen the Bears win a Super Bowl. Like, that's how excited he was. Like, honestly, it was the same expression and excitement level that I would have expected had he won the lottery and called to tell me.
Who needs a lottery when you have White Castles?
Simple man. Simple pleasures.
Hey, that's living life right there, man. You know what's sad is I'm looking at where my grandfather's restaurant was on that corner. Now it's just an empty, fenced off like field. Oof. They tore down the mall where it sat in like 2004, and then they built something there, and then they tore that down. So now it's just an empty lot. Sad to see. Yeah,
that's sad.
Yeah, I know. It hurt my mom to see because she hasn't been in that area in a long time because, you know, her parents are long gone and my grandmother or my grandfather has not lived in that area in 20 years now. So, you know, we go down there to visit other family, but that particular neighborhood that she lived in, I mean, we haven't been there in years. So I hadn't actually seen the spot in a long time. And I remember as a little kid seeing that mall where it used to be. Because, you know, the restaurant's been gone for like 40 plus years, but, you know, the mall that it was in was still there. So the building was still there, and now that it's gone, and now it's just an abandoned fenced off lot. But yeah, for any listeners that are in the South Side on that area, I know we have a lot of White Sox fans that listen to this podcast. A little bit of South Side history there for you.
Yeah, there you go. What was the restaurant called?
It was called the Crestline Grill.
I'll have to ask my mom. I'm sure my mom was eating there. My stepdad, I know, is eating there because he lived for a long time, like, straight west of there.
Yeah, ask him. It was just a little diner, but, you know, it did well.
Yeah, he lived in like, Burbank, so it was, like, straight west on, like, 79th Street.
Yeah, back when the Crestline Grill was open in that, in that mall, there was also a grocery store, a big grocery store that was attached to that. So I don't know if that might help jog the memory a little bit, but yeah, I'd be curious to see.
Yeah, I'll have to ask him.
Yeah.
Was there anything else you wanted to talk about?
No, I think I've said my piece.
I think that's going to do it for this episode of Swirsky Sports. I want to thank everybody so much for listening. Please make sure you hit subscribe however you listen to podcasts, whether it's iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, TuneIn app, Google Play, Spotify. Share this podcast with friends. That's how we grow the show. Follow us on social media at ShyFanPat1, at Swirsky Sports, Facebook.com/SwirskySports, SwirskySports.com. Thank you guys again so much for listening. And until next time. Bear down.
Cubs win! What a lucky break! The good Lord wants the Cubs to win!
We thank Ditka and God for all they have provided.
Cubs win! Cubs win! Cubs win!
Oh, I don't want her. You can have her. She's a Packer fan. She can't fit in my van.
And she looks like...
Remember, New Yorkers, smoking crack is not legal on planes.
Bears 31 to negative 7.
The Bears.
Oh, when the Bears go bearing down, I wanna...